Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Well, tonight's guest was only the second Canadian to receive a Gospel Music Association Dove Award. He's also won a string of GMA Canada Covenant Awards, and in 2008, he was given a Juno Award for his album, Holy God. If you haven't guessed who it is by now, here are a few of the songs which have become music standards. Come, Now is the Time to Worship, Refiner's Fire, and Faithful One. BC-based singer-songwriter Brian Dirksen now has a new project in the works. The Sheer Poets Project, which is, quote, making the world's most loved and ancient songbook new again, end quote. Brian is on the phone with us from his home in Abbotsford, BC, and will talk to us about his music and the Shire Poets Project in a few moments. But first, let's listen to Welcome to the Place of Level Ground from Brian Dirksen's Level Ground CD. Brian Dirksen. Good evening, Brian.
Good evening to you.
Now, some of our listeners may know about you, but might not know who you are. So before we get to the Sheer Poets Project, let's give our listeners a little bit of background. When did your whole interest in music start?
Well, I'm very blessed to be a part of a family that was involved in music. My dad was in a gospel quartet called the Ambassadors, and so I have lots of memories as a child. Actually, Brian Thiessen, who's my electric guitar player still to this day, his dad basically formed the group. So Brian and I met when we were 5 years old, and we would, you know, hang out at our parents' events, and sometimes they would have a tour bus, and they would tour around Western Canada. And I can't really recall a time when I wasn't really into music, and picked up a guitar at 13 years old. And, you know, it's one of those things where I just picked it up and it felt right in my hand. It wasn't like my dad wasn't a guitar player or anything. My grandpa, actually, now that I think of it, he was a mandolin player. And, I just picked it up and just started teaching myself. You know, how I would listen to songs and on the radio or somewhere, and then I would sit with my guitar and try and figure out what they were doing. So mm-hmm. pretty much self-taught myself the guitar, and started writing when I was probably in my late teens. So.
Well, who would have been some of the musical influences that you would have been listening to at that point in time?
Well, it would have been a real cross-section of some of the early kind of Christian music, Phil Keaggy, Randy Stonehill, and then, you know, mainstream artists like James Taylor. You know, I probably just gravitated toward music that was guitar-based. And then I would just sit and listen and then try and, you know, strum along and figure out what they were doing.
Yeah, you mentioned Keaggy and Stonehill and James Taylor. Not only were they accomplished guitarists, but they're also really strong as songwriters as well. Did you find that influencing you as a budding songwriter?
Well, I think initially I would have never dreamt that I would be a songwriter because I so looked up to those kinds of people. Oh, they know what they're doing, right? Like, wow, that's an amazing song. And so, like anything, probably, you know, you start off trying to just play their songs. And then I got into, you know, worship ministry where I was, you know, leading kind of the sung expression of worship in youth groups and in home Bible studies and small gatherings. And I just, again, I didn't think I would write songs. I was just happy to use other people's songs until what I describe as that gap moment hit me when I wanted to express something and I couldn't find a song written that said what I wanted to express. And this little voice went off in me, you know, well, why don't you write one? And I'm like, no, I'm not a songwriter. You know, you have to really be good to do that, and you have to understand everything about music and just feeling generally overwhelmed and intimidated. But that thought persisted. And I began to realize that the songwriting journey isn't about technical knowledge. It's about heart language and emotion and literally just simply knowing what you want to say. And a transition began. I was probably 23 when it really began in earnest, and that was the year I wrote Faithful One, Refiner's Fire, and my very first published song, Father, I Want You to Hold Me. So, yeah, that's how it began.
Well, looking at that and looking at sort of how your journey came, there are probably songwriters out there now that are looking up to you as a songwriter, looking at some of the things you've done. Have you had people talk to you about how your songs have influenced them in their own songwriting journey?
Yeah, I have. And I've had also the great joy of, you know, doing some focused teaching, mentoring, training of the next generation of songwriters. Probably some of the ones that people would most know as the season when I lived in England, and then I did some training and mentoring of Brenton Brown, who wrote Strength Will Rise as We Wait Upon the Lord. I worked with and encouraged Catherine Scott before she had written a single song. She wrote Hungry and Child of God and a bunch of other classics. And so, yeah, it was weird because I remember showing up, you know, when I started teaching on songwriting, I remember people, you know, expressing how much they had connected with some of my songs and wanted to learn from me. And it was kind of like a bit of a head scratcher at first, like, wow, okay. Well, you know, I know this little bit, but the key for me when I'm working with other songwriters is definitely not to make them try and sound like me or like anybody else. It's learning how to find their unique voice and having the courage to say what their heart wants to say.
Well, I know one of the things you do with your songs, and you mentioned Faithful One, is that whole aspect of opening up some of the experiences that you're going through in life. Is that something you try and help instill in other writers as well, that it's also being willing to share what's going on with your own spiritual journey?
Well, I don't know of any other way to access writing that really matters. Like, you know, you could say, you know, it's Tuesday morning, I'm going to get up and I'm going to write a song because it's Tuesday and it's going to be an amazing song. Like, I don't think it works so much like that. I think you need a reason. I think you need an inspiration. I think you need something in your life to happen. Another way I say it is that us songwriters write the songs that we need to write to survive our life. They're not written out of ease and out of high emotional points when everything's going great. They're usually written out of dark and difficult situations, and then we try and survive our life by writing the songs that we need to express. And I mean, even like Faithful One, one of my first songs, I remember so distinctly. We'd had our first daughter, Rachel. She was several months old. I was doing a job for a church that was over my head and outside of even my skill set, and I was overwhelmed. And I remember looking at the face of my little girl and this sinking realization that I was going to let her down and that I was not going to be able to pull off being the perfect father. As much as I loved her and wanted to care for her and protect her and provide for her, it was just that. And so out of that feeling of, oh, what am I going to do? You know, how am I going to make it through? How am I going to hang on and be an example to her? This song, Faithful One, was my way of trying to survive that season when I felt overwhelmed. And so maybe perhaps over the years, other people have felt overwhelmed in different, totally different circumstances. But then they connect with that song and go, oh, I can sing this song when I'm feeling overwhelmed, when I'm afraid, when I'm in the middle of a storm. And that's kind of, I think, how it works. These songs don't come from the ether in the sense of just from the mist of just being creative. They're often rooted in something earthy and something very concrete in our stories.
Well, I think that's a good segue to where we're going to go next, which is to talk about the Sheer Poets Project, because you're looking at the Psalms, and we know that most of the Psalms were written out of some of the darker times in the psalmist's life. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick break and continue our conversation with singer-songwriter Brian Dirksen. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
Lord, don't rebuke me, or in your wrath turn away. Have mercy on me, Lord, in your anger. Don't chasten me without cause. Your favor is my need, Lord. Lord, don't rebuke me, or in your wrath turn away. Have mercy on favor is my need.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to the download version of Psalm 6 from the Sheer Poets, a new project with Brian Dirksen. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Brian. Where did the whole idea for Sheer Poets, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, Sheer Poets come from?
You nailed the pronunciation. Well, the idea is this. I went through a couple of years of very dark disorientation, some tragedies and some things that happened in a local church setting that just broke my heart, almost crushed me, really. And I lost my words. I just couldn't, for about 2 years, I just found I couldn't write. I struggled with any expression of faith or clarity. And then what happened is, sometime into this process, the book of Psalms started to open up to me, and I started noticing things in Psalms that I don't know if I'd fully ever taken in before. Some of the dark and difficult emotions that are so fully and clearly expressed. And all of a sudden I'm going, wait a minute, like, I'm not alone in what I'm going through. For thousands of years, people have gone through periods of dark and difficult emotion. And they actually take those things, gather them up, and instead of censoring them out and pretending that we're good and we're happy, they actually express them. In other words, how the psalmist deals with pain is not deny it or not get distracted from it, but he goes through it by expressing it. And so all of a sudden, man, I'm reading the Psalms, and then I started singing them, you know, in my own. And because I was disoriented, I decided I'm gonna start singing them from Psalm 1 and just kind of work my way through the whole first chunk. By the time I had written a setting for about Psalm 15, I realized I don't want to do this journey on my own. I want to do it with a group of friends who also have a heart for the Psalms. And so we formed this band called the Sheer Poets. And which is kind of a, you know, an interesting name, because Sheer is a Hebrew word which means musical or singing. But there's also that English expression, that sheer poetry. In other words, true. And the Psalms are full of truth, not just high and lofty truth about God, though there is that there, but there's also the visceral truth of who we are. So we started singing and writing, and some of the settings that I had done, I brought to this group, and then we reworked them, and they came up with massive improvements to my ideas. We wrote them together. We've recorded the first batch, Psalm 1 to 10, and we're releasing our Volume 1, and even as we're releasing Volume 1, we're actually going back into the studio to start recording Volume 2, which we've already written, the next batch. And we're also including, I think, maybe for one of the first times ever, there's some songs, psalm-like songs in the Dead Sea Scrolls. And because my sister-in-law is a Dead Sea Scroll scholar, I'm friends with several of that kind of community. We've set, for example, in Volume 1 as a bonus track on the CD, we've set a song called In the Bereavement from Dead Sea Scrolls Cave 1, and which is an incredible piece of, these words are about a parent who loses a child, really, and it's about grief and about hanging on to God in grief. And so that's kind of a little summary of where the journey started for me.
Well, looking at that, and I mean, we all know, most of us know, that the Psalms were songs to begin with. They were accompanied by music, and that has been lost. How much of a challenge was it to take the Psalms and then pull it into, you know, sort of a contemporary musical expression?
Well, there definitely were some challenges, because we were trying to set each Psalm in its entirety. Right, not censoring out the dark and difficult bits, and it wasn't like the original songwriters were following modern song format of a nice, neat and tidy four line verse and then a hook chorus, you know. So some of these psalms have 5, 6, 7 little kind of sections, and they don't seem to follow that structure. So, but that was. What was a struggle became one of our greatest joys in doing this, is because it set us free from the limitations of this modern verse chorus rigid format and let us be a bit more creative. This is about journey. It's about a narrative. It's not about a pop song. It's about the heart. It's about honesty. It's about trusting the maker of heaven and earth. And so we've really actually, I'm glad you asked that, because that's become one of the most important things to us, is that each of the Psalms is unique. And so you've got Psalm 1, which is this kind of punchy, short psalm of orientation. It's clear, you know, everything's black and white. When you follow God, it goes good, and you're like a tree, and you don't wither. But by the time you get to Psalm 3, things start moving into shades of disorientation, like, God, there's so many enemies. They're hunting me. What's going, you know, I'm yours. What's going on? And it's those kinds of things. And then the structure of each of them is different. So the sound styles that we chose, we loosely call it kind of like folk rock. Like we're just using our musical mother tongue. But we're definitely trying to follow the flow, the narrative flow of the original psalm. And we had, as we were working on them, we would have like 7, 8, 9 English translations laid out before us. We have the Hebrew text, and then we would have Robert Alter's Book of Psalms, and he's a modern Hebrew scholar that his goal was to render the Book of Psalms in a more poetic way. His argument is that so many of our English translations they're about technical accuracy and they lose the sense of poetry. And like you said, these were songs. And so here we are, you know, nothing that original. We're trying to render them as songs. Songs that people can listen to, songs when maybe some of them are about earthy things like comfort and sleep, you know, that they can listen to before they go to sleep. Songs that are about a cry for justice for the poor that are being mistreated. Songs of joy, like Psalm 8, oh, Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, and these children. And we had the Watoto African Children's Choir sing Psalm 8 with us, and let me tell you.
Wow.
We got a chance to sing that live with them, and hearing these African children singing, oh, Lord, how majestic is... Oh, it's just like, we were like looking at each other going, this is fun. Like,
it
has all of that really wide range of emotions and song structures as you work your way through it.
It sounds like a fascinating project. It'll be really neat to hear it when it comes out. We're quickly running out of time. I need to take one final break, and then we'll be right back and finish our conversation with senior songwriter Brian Dirksen. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
You forgive, then forget. You take our sins and cast them farther than the east is from the west. Our shameful past lost to you, our future found in your compassion as we live out the truth. Now there's no condemnation, no condemnation for all of us, all who belong to Jesus. That woman who remained as love reclaims, then restores. You mend our broken hearts and make our lives stronger than before. Now there's no condemnation, no condemnation for all of us.
The Arts Connection. You've been listening to No Condemnation from Brian Dirksen's CD Level Ground. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with Brian. What's the best way for people to connect and get more information about you and about the Sheer Poets Project?
Well, I mean, they can just go to my website, briandirksen.com. Dirksen is D-O-E-R-K-S-E-N. And there's a banner there on the Sheer Poets, which you can click, which goes to thesheerpoets.com. Sheer is spelled S-H-I-Y-R. But if you use the English spelling, just as in Sheer, we have that domain too, so it'll just redirect you. And there'll be news there about where the album will be available, you know, any live events that we're going to be doing. And they can sign up for our mailing list, and then they'll get special early release stuff. You know, like I said, we're already back in the studio. We're working on volume two. So,
great. And is volume one available right now?
Volume one is, it will be out within the next few weeks. We're just trying to figure out the best distribution options because we are an indie, it's an indie project. So, right. but directly from us, it will be available very, very shortly.
Great. Brian, thanks very much for your time tonight.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. I'm thinking of my guest, Brian Dirksen. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website, www.selawministries.ca. That's www.selawministries.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, a production of Selaw Ministries, email Robert at selawministries.ca. Or follow us on Twitter at Selah13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.